When was the last time you went for a 3-hour walk? I know some of you fitness buffs do it regularly. For me, it happens only once a year, always on Black Friday, the morning after Thanksgiving. My health-minded brother-in-law, Bryce, organizes a long walk to burn off some of those calories that we packed on during the Thanksgiving feast the day before. And it's usually about 7 miles. And the best part is after the walk, Bryce plans it out so we end up at a pub where we can have a burger and a beer. And then I usually go home and take a nap. Well, that's what I was thinking about, the 7-mile walk, not the burger and the beer, when I read today's gospel account from Luke called The Appearance on the Road to Emmaus. Because the two disciples in the gospel were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a distance of 7 miles, in the afternoon of the first day of the week, the first Easter Sunday. Luke's gospel is full of many descriptive and appealing stories that just don't appear in the other three gospels. And the appearance on the road to Emmaus has long been one of my favorite gospel passages. And I'm guessing that it might be one of yours as well. Why do you think that is? In church art, there are many depictions of this scene. Look at the one on the front of the bulletin this week. They're always very captivating, easy to get drawn into the story just by seeing the image of Jesus and the two disciples deep in discussion as they walk along the road. Who were the two disciples? Most church art shows them as two men, but only one is identified, Cleopas. Now, in the evangelist St. John's Passion narrative that we read on Good Friday, we hear about Mary, the wife of Clopas, who was standing at the foot of the cross with Jesus' mother Mary and the Apostle John. A slightly different spelling, but I'm going to stick with the idea that the two disciples were Cleopas and his wife Mary. If you listen to Father Mike Schmitz, you'll know that he agrees with me on that speculation. And these two disciples, Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas, if you will, were probably returning to their home in Emmaus after spending the Passover in Jerusalem. It wasn't a happy walk home. They were all downcast and dejected as they discussed the events they had witnessed in Jerusalem. But the gospel tells us that Jesus drew near and walked with them, although they were prevented from recognizing him. And he asks, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" And Cleopas vents a little bit of his frustration at Jesus and says, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" But what does Jesus do? He doesn't interrupt their conversation. Instead, he listens intently as they recount all that had occurred. And I'm going to hit the pause button right there for a second and remind us of our call to evangelization. During his entire papacy, Pope Francis said that by virtue of our baptism, we are all missionary disciples. And as such, we are called to proclaim the gospel and bear witness to it, not only through organized programs, but in the ordinary circumstances of daily life and relationships, in the places where we already live, speak, work, serve, and love. Pope Leo continues to carry that torch of evangelization handed to him by Pope Francis. And our own Bishop Wachowiak has declared that evangelization is going to be his focus for the rest of his time as bishop of this diocese. But it wasn't just Pope Francis or Pope Leo. It goes back to all the successors of Peter, back to Jesus in the Great Commission when he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Suffice it to say, all of us were called to evangelization by virtue of our baptism. But it may be the most difficult part of our calling for us to accomplish. However, in our gospel today, Jesus gives us a perfect template for that evangelization, for us to become missionary disciples. Notice that he doesn't stand on a soapbox and preach the gospel to passers-by. Instead, he meets these downcast disciples where they are. He engages with them and empathizes with them. He asks them what they are talking about. And the first thing he does is listen to learn where they are at. Walk a mile, or maybe 7 miles, in their shoes, so to speak. So back to our story. What happens next? Jesus spends the rest of this 3-hour journey with these two disciples as a captive audience. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. That must have been the best homily ever given. Wouldn't you like to have been there to hear that? It's too bad that St. Luke didn't get the text of that homily to share with us. But what an incredible opportunity for these two disciples, Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas. They were literally walking with the Lord, and they became energized. Later, they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" That might be my favorite line from my favorite gospel. Oh, to have been in their shoes. But even then, they didn't realize that they were talking to Jesus. And still, they were very hospitable. And when they reached Emmaus, where I assume their home was, they said, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." They wanted more. And Jesus delivered. While he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. So, what just happened? The disciples were treated to the breaking open of scriptures for them, followed by Jesus blessing the bread, breaking it, and giving it to them. Now, wait a minute, that sounds kind of familiar. Well, of course it does. Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas just experienced the Mass, as we still celebrate it today. The liturgy of the Word followed by the liturgy of the Eucharist. And what happens at the end of Mass? We have the dismissal from the priest or the deacon who directs us to go forth and announce the gospel of the Lord, or go forth to glorify the Lord with our lives. That's what Mary and Cleopas did. They were invigorated by the Mass, by the liturgy of the Word in Jesus' homily, and by the liturgy of the Eucharist and the breaking of the bread. And they got up and headed back to Jerusalem. That's another 3-hour walk. And they met the apostles and the disciples there, and they shared the good news. They did announce the gospel, and they did glorify the Lord as they recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Cleopas and his wife Mary were Jesus' disciples, just like we are. So let's look to them as role models to follow their example. After we attend Mass and are nourished with God's Word and by the Eucharist, let us go forth and announce the gospel of the Lord and glorify the Lord with our lives. Let us walk with the Lord and be invigorated by him, so that our hearts burn within us.